Welcome to the Image and Glory Conference 2025. Open your heart to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
Hallelujah. Okay.
Even an angel of the Lord has been sent. As if an angel of the Lord is here, even to minister alongside you, for even to help you.
Amen.
Even an angel of His face has come. Even an angel, even of His presence, even His hair, even His hair, even to aid you, even to aid you in unveiling even the righteousness of His face, even the righteousness of His presence. Even the righteousness that is of the Father. For I perceive even that angel has come to strengthen your hands.
Amen.
Even has come to give you liberty in the spirit.
Amen.
Even liberty in the spirit. Even liberty in the spirit. Even for to glide on the wings. Even on the wings of the spirit. Even on the wings of the spirit. That there be no limitations.
Yeah.
Even no limitations. Not even time limitations. For even there is a download of the Father here. There's that which the Father wants to even barge out. Even to give. Is an allocation. That must be given. That should be given. Should be given without limitations, and therefore even allow, and do not hinder the spirit. Even do not hinder that which the Lord wants to bring. Oh, do not hinder. Even my people, do not hinder. Allow. For it is for your profiting and for your blessing. It is for your entrance. For even the circles that have come. Even the circles that have come to you, it has come by mercy. It has come by mercy. And so receive, for help has been sent to you, saith the Lord.
We receive in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So in the morning, I was trying to do some labor, and I was saying then that I had two-part thoughts, if you remember, sir, that because the team is like threefold God, like Pastor Thompson said today, God of threefold, you know, the Son of God and the reign of righteousness, then bringing all his enemies, enforcing the supremacy of his Son over all, it, you know, so, you know, if the team is the Son of righteousness, the Son of God is a team. Then the reign of righteousness is a team. The enforcing, you know, is a team. So I just see that it's three, you know, it's like three in one thought. And I say in the morning, there are three that bear record in heaven. There are three that bear record on earth. And then there are three that bear record in this conference. So it's not easy to teach. It's not easy to take one. And then to do the three at once may not be easy like that. So the Lord just gave me a wisdom that I should do two parts. So I tried teaching this morning on the Son of God. You know, how the Son of God is built, is raised. Hallelujah. And my intention was to teach on the reign of righteousness in the evening. But I couldn't go so further because, you know, if it only goes head us down at a particular time. And I found out that the Holy Ghost held you down today. You know, even though we bring something, the Holy Ghost wants to hammer some things. You know, certain things in the church, in the body, that are areas that, you know, he has to stretch them so that we can quickly gain some victory. Can we say a big amen? But I will still continue from that. I just trust God for great speed. I just have to rush as the Holy Spirit will give me here. Can we say amen? Let's just open our Bible. I just want to read it, please. You know, I was saying the morning that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, when we say the Son of God, don't first of all look at yourself. You know, we are looking at one man, the pattern son that has been made blueprint for building every other son. Amen. I labor so much on that, you know, Jesus is the Son of God, but there are sons before Jesus Christ came. You could see it in the angelic order. I was making us to see that we can go back to that message later. But I want us to see a blueprint again. Let's see Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 to 6. You know, I just want to teach from there. So anytime you see the word, the Son of God, Jesus Christ is the icon that will come out. You know, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 to 6, he said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved. And what again? And Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." This is prophecy concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see it was confirmed again when you look at Jeremiah chapter 33. Let's just compare those scriptures, then I will push from there. Jeremiah 33, verse 15 to verse 16. Jeremiah 33, 15 to 16. He said, "In those days and at that time, I will cause a branch of righteousness." You can see that. You can see something about this person. Hallelujah. Branch of righteousness to grow up. It's not just a branch of righteousness. A branch of righteousness that will grow up. It means that righteousness will grow. That's what we call growing righteousness. Righteousness to grow up unto David. And he shall execute justness and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah shall be saved. The same way that one said it, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this name, this is the name wherewith it shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. This is the Lord our righteousness. It's not to say the Lord is my righteousness, I don't need to do anything again. They are not to say that it will be the blueprint of building righteousness. It's the pattern of righteousness. Can we say a big amen? So you cannot say the Son of God without the place of growing up in righteousness. You cannot mention Son of God without the growing up in righteousness. I ended up in the morning teaching by saying that, you know, sonship is in level. Please, there's nothing called Son of God is Son of God. There are measurements in sonship. Please, what did I say? I'm trying to connect with my message in the morning. Then I said that what the Lord put in mind is to teach sonship in the order of Melchizedek. You know, because the valley technology of God in raising sons, real sons. You know, I told you that there are shadow sons of God. There are created sons of God. And I made us also to know, sorry that I'm making reference to that. I made us also to know also that the created sons of God have, you know, they have shadow of God's things, not exactly the properties of God. They just have what I use a word in the morning. You know, I use a word about, you know, they have, it's like a mirror of the original. It's not even the image, but mirror of the original. They are just a shadow of those things. They don't have the reality in themselves. But when you look at what they have inside of them, it's like they have exactly what God has. For example, when you look at, you know, the fallen cherub, the anointed cherub that covered, you see that they said you have precious stones. Amen. And you look at those precious stones, they mentioned them. Jasper is even one of them. Topaz is one of them. When you look at the holy city, you see that they are almost having the same thing. Amen. But they are not exactly the same. Hope I'm not looking too technical. They are not the same. The jasper in Lucifer is not the jasper that is in God. It's just the mirror of those things, the shadow of those things. Amen. It's just to describe that what they have are similarity to what God has. God created the angels for his own son to see and to learn the pattern of raising sons. Are you getting me? So I read Psalm 103 in the morning. I'm just saying that so that we can. Psalm 103, all of them that they describe, they are all sons of God in their different cadre. Angels and the minister which are host, then all the works in the places of his dominion, then, oh my soul. I was trying to make sure that oh my soul is Adam, the living soul. And you can see that Adam is also son of God. I don't think you are getting me. They are all description of sons. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. So, but you see, the son of God, when we say the son of God, the project God has in mind is that he will raise sons. Man will be son. You know, created son are not the same thing as made son. So, created son are already created so. They cannot improve. They cannot grow. They are already created perfect. And you know, I said that you are made so. So they are created to be like that. But God gave room for so. That oh my soul, God has a plan for the oh my soul. The oh my soul must grow. God has a plan that this oh my soul will be created, will be formed. I said those things in the morning. Then it will be made. So that the oh my soul can come to a place. Let's see Hebrews chapter 1. When God finished that oh my soul. Because Adam is the Adam, the first Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, he was also last. So it means that Jesus, to God work on Jesus' soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone say a big amen. Amen. Someone say, oh my soul. Oh, so God has a great plan for the soul of man. For example, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So God has plan for the soul. When God finished that the Son of God now that we are looking at, our Lord Jesus Christ, when God finished that Jesus Christ, when God finished with him and God finished making him, that, oh my soul, God call it something else. God call it something else. So let's see Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read from there. I'm just looking for a way to enter this thing. I hope I'm I'm carrying you along. So let's see, and of the angels, let's see, yes, and of the angel is said, who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he said, unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God. So that, O my soul, when God finished that, O my soul, there's something God called that, O my soul. God called it, O God. God called that, O my soul, O God. This, O God, is not God before time. No, this is man-made God. This is God's product. Because anything God makes must be God. When they say making, let us make man. When God finished that product, the name of that will be God. What God can make is God. God does not make anything less than God. Forgive me, please. Amen. I don't know if you are following me. Even the yes is low. I hope you know that when the Bible says we shall become people of God, when they say ye shall be my people, people of God, they are God's word. Because, amen, thank God our daddy seated there, so he will come on anything I say. Let me just be freely speaking as the Lord gave me grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Bible says God is God of gods. Bible says God is God of gods. God of gods is not that, you know, our limited understanding can say, Olorun, you know, God of God, God of Shango, God of Oya, God of Thunder, God of... When you attribute that to God, God feel insulted. God does not see Shango as God. God does not see Oya as God. God does not see any Amodea, anything you call as God. Anytime you are saying that, God is seeing himself in the congregation of God. That when I raise man, amen, a son of God must be God. I say, son of God must be God. Okay, what is Satan say? Bible call him God of this world. He's a God. Even the angels that God created that time, when you look at them, anytime you look at certain scriptures, they come as like God. Even though they are created sons of God, they have certain power and authority that can make them mimic God. If not that God will say, I'm not the one, you will think it's God. They have certain operations that look like God. I don't know if you are getting me. Are you getting me, please? So Jesus Christ, one day Jesus was talking, he said, I am my father one. And they took stone. They wanted to stone him. Jesus Christ said, of all the miracles I've done, which one? Why do you want to stone me? We are not stoning because of miracles, but because you call yourself God, because you say son of God, making yourself equal. It means Jewish know what it means to be a son of God. That you must not say you are a son of God, because if you say you are, Jesus didn't say I am God. He said I am my father one. I am a son. They say if you call yourself son of God, you are trying to say you are equal. You are trying to make yourself equal with God. Hallelujah. Jesus now told them, is it not written in your scriptures that I have said, ye are gods, and all of you, you are the sons of the Most High. Unto whom the scripture has come, and the scripture, unto whom the word of God has come, and the scripture cannot be broken. What I'm trying to say is that oh my soul, God has a plan for it. That oh my soul, we ascend in beauty, ascend in learning of righteousness, and come to the very righteousness of God. So you can't talk about son of God. Can we say son of God? You can't talk about sonship without attainment of righteousness. You cannot. You cannot talk about sonship without attainment of righteousness. There must be righteousness we attain. When Paul was describing this thing, I think in Galatians chapter 5, hope of righteousness. This is a person who is already teaching imputed righteousness. But he's still talking about there's a hope of righteousness we are supposed to get. Please give it to me, please. He said, for we through the Spirit wait. This is what we wait for, the hope of righteousness by faith. We wait for the hope of... So it means righteousness has been received, but there's the hope of righteousness. So it means righteousness is not just one commodity we get immediately. We grow in righteousness. Someone say, I grow in righteousness. If you respond well, we'll close early. Pastor Demi already gave me authority. I'm his cherub now, as you see me here. Hallelujah. Can we say we grow in righteousness? So let me labor further from there. So, you know, the first measurement of son they give to us, like I said, sonship is in level. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 9. Though he were a son, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. So he was a son. He was already a son. Yet he was still learning righteousness. He learnt obedience. See, that obedience there is a higher grade of righteousness that he still has to come into. Then you cannot see verse 10. Be made perfect. So you can imagine a son. As a son, he was perfect in a measure. I don't know how to describe this thing. As a son, he was perfect in a measure. Are you getting me? As a son, he was perfect. But he was not made. Well, this perfection is to come into express image of God's person. This perfection is to come into express image of God's person. Though he had measure of righteousness, he was a son. This son here is not even Christ. The son here is not Christ. This son is more than a Christ. Jesus here is a living son. Jesus here was a living son. Because you are the Christ, the son of the living God. He was already a living son. Who is getting me, please? He was already a living son. Yet, as a living son, there are still righteousness he must learn and obey so that he can be made perfect. If you see Jesus here, he's already perfect. To us, this is a perfect man. But to God, it's not yet a perfect man. Please, are we getting me? So, sonship begins from the gospel of Christ. I don't know. I stopped somewhere in the morning. I was talking about, you know, milk does not make a son. Milk of Christ doesn't make a son. Milk of Christ is what makes a child. Milk, not milk of everlasting life. If you take milk, he said, Paul said that I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For what? You are not yet ready for it. He said, mix, because you are babes in Christ. So when you become born again, they give you milk. And that milk is what Pastor Thompson was trying to also talk about. I talk about that in the morning. I will talk about the junction of milk. I was explaining Jesus, because Jesus has our righteousness. Even the, I was talking about Jesus, hallelujah, in milk. That milk that they give to us, milk has its own assignment. Even though milk is not the retraining of righteousness, but it has its own work it's supposed to do. Milk has what it should do in our soul. If you take milk very well, I won't lie to you. Anyone who uses milk very well, I will just say in passing and run away, you will have certain dominion over works of the flesh. It's not Christ that teaches you to have dominion over works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. I'm not saying flesh itself. Works of the flesh. Works of the flesh are made manifest. Milk can handle certain works of the flesh. I don't expect that somebody say it is when I get to Christ teaching I will know not how to fornicate again. No. Milk should handle those things. Milk should handle fornication very well. A soul should have dominion over fornication in milk. Fornication, lying. Oh yeah, you know, lying is my temptation. Go and take milk very well. Hallelujah. Thank God that we don't have fornicators in that church. And we must never have. We must never. I'm not saying we can't be tempted, but we must not have fornicators in our church. We should never have fornicators. Nobody should even make mistake of fornicating. Because if you use me very, your senses will be alive. You will know this thing I'm going to do will lead to fornication. There's no fornication by accident. Kosini wamo. Wamo kwe kini mon fawo kan yi. Ibi ti mon lo yi. Well, we know two people in our church then, not now, in our church. They, you know, young people that were added to us, so they ended up playing, but they didn't fornicate. They just played. Maybe some years back, they just, you know, played. No, of course, me, I can't say that's fornication, but at least they didn't enter the thing. But they play around themselves. Play, and then later they felt remorseful and they came to talk. And I said, when you were going to that person, this sister's house, what did you feel like? Didn't you feel anything? That, he said, he said, I feel in me that this going that I'm going. This. He said, I feel within me that this going, I'm going. I said, even when I knock the door, I know if I there's something there. I said, when you know, that's when you are supposed to avoid it that day. Yes. Eh? So that's why I said that. Nobody should, you will not fall into fornication in Jesus' name. Yeah. Even if you are caught, you will know. There's a day when you are caught, you will know that this signal I'm feeling. Hallelujah. Hope I'm not wasting time again. Because we don't want to have casualty of fornication. Paul said, let it not be named among you. Once. Let it not be once named among you. So it's possible it's not named among us. It's possible. Very possible. We can have such an atmosphere and a culture that even people that are having you with fornication, when they enter, after a while, the thing will cease. Yeah. So not that somebody that has been in church for 5 years now fall into fornication. No, it's shameful now. It's shameful. Believe me, honest. I'm not saying if you do it, that you should not confess your sin. But it's shameful. It's very shameful. God so much raised a local church at that time that when somebody, a choir leader, a minister in that church, a minister that sing, in meek church, a minister, you know, that was singing lady worship, but she was maybe cutting and then she fell into fornication. The whole church was broken. They were just weeping. They wept. The GO wept. And they went to a point, they go say, I will take her away. Holy Ghost told her, I'm taking her away. And they took her away. I mean, she slept. Even though they forgave her, but they took her away. Because of the nature of the atmosphere. The nature of the atmosphere of that look. I'm just, you see, this thing, we are only, we are coming to a place where God will present demand like that. Is it that God didn't forgive her? God forgave her, but to keep the sanctity of that atmosphere so that many other people will see that and take warning. You can't say they can't go, and then next time you are touching this. Don't come near me, I beg you. So I hope I'm still okay, sir. Very important, so it will not be named. But I'm just saying, good make, we can do some things. Give us certain reign over something, dominion over something. Can we say a big amen?
Amen.
Are you still with me, everybody? But retraining of sonship, what did I say? Retraining of sonship begin with the gospel of Christ. So that gospel of Christ, I was mapping Jesus. I know, Pastor, you want me to enter something, but I'm looking how to enter it. That training of Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord, the way Jesus was arranged in righteousness training, has to do more, because you can't talk about reign of righteousness without certain level of authority being on you. Because reign, you can't reign without authority. Pastor, if you agree with me, sir, nobody can reign without authority. It takes authority to reign. It takes authority to reign. You can't come into reign without some measure of authority on you. So the way I perceive Jesus, that was what I was teaching the morning, let me connect back with it by God's wisdom, is that they measure Jesus feeding. Learning righteousness by his obedience and subjection to authority. Jesus started, first of all, with physical authority, natural authority, at the age of 12. So Jesus' own measurement of obeying and learning righteousness has to do with subjection to authority. The first one is the authority to his parent at the age of 12. I showed us that in the morning. Then next one is his subjection to spiritual authority. Spiritual authority. He was subject to his parent at the age of 12. Bible says, and he followed them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He followed them. Say, he followed them. Bible says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother, he was subject unto them. Jesus Christ was subject unto his parents. Subject unto his parents. So it means his parents could guide him, his parents could lead him, his parents could instruct him. Every instruction Jesus Christ was getting were direct instruction from God through his parents. They were just helping him to grow. And the Bible says, and the child grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with men. Then we didn't hear anything about Jesus until he was 30. But it didn't mean that Jesus was not learning righteousness. He was learning righteousness, but the next time Jesus will come out is at the age of 30. And the next thing was had to do with baptism. This is where I was going in the morning. I will just push from there. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say baptism. Baptism of John. Which is an hallmark of spiritual authority. Because we didn't know that John was a spiritual authority until later, when they asked Jesus Christ, by whose authority are you doing what you are doing? Jesus Christ now told them, I want to ask you a question. John's baptism, by whose authority? Is it from men or of God? And they said, if we say it's of men, if we say, the people will stone us because they listen to the problem. If we say it's of God, say, why didn't you believe in? So it means that if I didn't know what they are doing, they now say, we don't know. We don't know. Then your guy says, you don't know me too, I don't know. Everybody went their way. But Jesus Christ recognized that John's baptism is an authority from God. I don't know, maybe you are getting me. And when he came to John, he wanted to be baptized. But John said, I can't do that for you. You are better than me. Jesus Christ, no, let it be so. So that what? We can fulfill all righteousness. So the measurement of righteousness for Jesus is actually attached to how he recognized authority and submit himself to it. John subjected himself to, Jesus Christ subjected himself to John, who was a spiritual authority as at that time. Can we say amen? Now, as somebody who is learning righteousness of God in Christ, As someone who is learning righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I know that we teach faith, we teach hope, and we say it's charity. All these things that are taught, they are not what we get by ourselves without being under spiritual authority. Because faith, hope, charity, they are actually counter nature of spirits that are fallen sons. Anytime you enter the paradigm of faith, a spirit is already warring against you. So faith is a warfare against a spirit. Hope is a warfare against a spirit. Charity is a warfare against a spirit. Hallelujah. Let's see Ephesians chapter 6. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. Can we say a big amen? So, when you look at this arrangement, warfare there is an arrangement of spirit against ascension of the soul. So they are all arranged against righteousness or against growing up in righteousness. So faith is the first level of righteousness they give to us. And when we are learning faith, hallelujah, we are engaging in a spiritual warfare. So that warfare is against, I believe, principality. When you enter hope, you are warring against powers. Powers, they are authority. The word power there is not dunamis. It's actually the word they use for authority. It's authority, exousia. So this power there, they are authorities. The powers which are authorities are the ones that are in charge of eyes of men. They are the ones that make hope become real. They are the ones in charge of hope. The hope of this world. The hope of this, they paint hope of this world. And they make people have lust for things of this world. Those are authorities. So it means you need another eye called hope to war against them. I know you are getting me. Then the last one is rulers of the darkness of this world, which are in charge of, you know, your love life. They are against charity. That's why it is difficult sometimes for brethren to keep love of the brethren. Love of the brethren is actually a warfare. It's warfare. You have to war and war and war and war. You are actually warring with a spirit. But this is the way the Lord explained it to me. Amen. Can I still continue?
Yes, sir.
The way the Lord explained to me that every of those spirits have their corresponding nature in man. They have their corresponding nature in man. As you see power there. So it's not just you are fighting power outside. Of course, it's a power outside, but he has their work in you. They have their work inside of you. They have their operations inside of you. So when you enter the season of hope, okay, when you can actually win principality. The world rests with death that you are in the same ring until you push them out. You can actually win principality. You can win power. But winning them is not that you win them in the territory. If I win principality, doesn't mean that they are not in the territory. They are still in the territory outside. But it's not that they don't have any hold on me again. I know maybe you're getting me. Lord help me, oh Lord help me, oh Lord help me. I say, Lord, you help me. Who is getting what I'm trying to say? Jesus Christ has destroyed Satan, but Satan is still existing. And he's still having control over men. But Jesus Christ has destroyed them. If I'm right, Jesus Christ has destroyed death. And has destroyed sin. Who agree with me? But they are still existing. So it means that as Jesus Christ destroyed them, Jesus Christ is empowering everybody to destroy them. I can be free from sin. I say I can be free from sin. When I'm free from sin, doesn't mean sin is not existing again. Sin is still existing, but it doesn't have any hold on me. Hallelujah. For example, when you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, For there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He didn't say has made us free. He means that Paul is talking about himself, because he was trying to explain his predicament from chapter 7. The things I want to do, I could not do. He was talking about his own experience, which he know many people come to that certain experience too. Are you getting me? But when he comes to chapter 8, he didn't say the Lord God has made us free. Made us, this place is not that as I become born again, I'll be made free. No, I still have to obey certain law. So to Paul, he has been made free. Hallelujah. Paul, had been, as he was writing, he had been made free from the law of sin and death. Paul has been made free. And that's why he could teach the church how to be free. He's not teaching them in hope of, you know, God will help us so. Me too, I'm still trying. No, he's already free. And he was now penning down how they could be free. For example, he said that in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, he said, since you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was handed over to you, hallelujah. He said, being then made free from sin, he became the servant of righteousness. So it means that Paul know how to be made free from sin. Who is getting what I'm trying to say? He know how to be made free from sin. Paul has the technology on how to be made free from sin, because he too has been made free from sin. So somebody has, you know, it's easier when you are free from something. When you are free from something, you know how to teach others experientially, not just by head knowledge. You can know, you can guide people by ways. This is how I became free from this thing. Like somebody who had one ailment, and through certain exercise or something, he became free from it. It's even from reading book to say this is how you can be free. He has applied it, he has worked in it. Can we say a big amen? So what I'm saying is that, so principality, power, spirit, rulers of the darkness of this world, now to be free from them, where I'm going, to be free, one of the ways or the key way to be free from them, to be free from them is to be under spiritual authority. Is to be under, you can't, sorry, oh, please, I realize this thing, you know, sometimes you can talk from your experience too. You can't be free from principalities, because when you engage in combating with them, you must be under spiritual authority. It is spiritual authority that empower you in faith. You were talking about how shall we receive the gospel without preacher. So preachers, we keep teaching faith. Faith is not what you read in Bible by yourself. We need to read our Bible. We need to read our Bible. We need to read, but we hear faith. We hear faith. Faith coming by hearing the word of God. How shall they hear? So it means that our spiritual authority are not just talking to us, they are empowering us in combating. You can't be a wrestler without a trainer. You must have a coach. Sure, you understand me. I even think all these our boxers, that Nigerian person, what's his name? Anthony Joshua, he has a coach or the trainer. You must have a trainer. So you can't war in righteousness without a trainer. So spiritual authority give you edge. Hallelujah. Come say spiritual authority. You know, sometimes we enjoy, I'm under our daddy, daddy, you are my covering. No, people say that. You are my covering. So that's why anytime I'm traveling, I just know I'm okay. You are okay in traveling. But you are not, you must be okay in traveling upward. You must be okay in traveling. You don't use us just to be covering for traveling. I shall know that, sir. No demon will touch me because I'm under covering. Thank you. That's good. When you want to do business, I know I'm under covering. I know we are 50, but my own, because I'm under covering, it's okay. But the real covering is to make you travel where? Upward. And win warfare of faith, warfare of hope, warfare of charity. I don't know if you are still following me. Forgive me for my lay language. Am I okay, please? Are you still with me? Are you with me? You know, sometimes when we teach like this, something pull at us that you are trying to bully the people. It's not about bullying anybody. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ, our Lord, was under, the way I saw Jesus was that he was under covering of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ learned the Holy Ghost, but he showed it. When he saw his spiritual authority, he showed it. To show that this is the way I am having dominion over certain things. I realized that when you are under spiritual, because some of these things are packed. For example, let me put it in the way I can understand it. Let me be put in the way I understood them. Listen to me. Principality, power, rulers of the business of this world, they have a frame that is in man. That frame is called flesh. They are the one who monitor that nobody becomes spirit. They make sure you remain flesh. That's why they start fighting you when you start yielding to faith. Because faith is a combatant against building of flesh in you. And they are there to monitor. If there are 5,000 in Ibadan, 5,000 souls, all the souls are under serious surveillance. Every CCTV. And they rally a program year by year to make sure souls are perpetually in the realm of flesh. That's why anytime a local church enter a place, like City Gate now, City Gate is well known in the realm of the spirit in Ibadan. You cannot tell me City Gate, because they know how many souls they register from their book of flesh. They have their book of attendance. Perpetual they know the souls that are there. That they, I don't maybe amen. See the way I'm even teaching. Am I okay today? They have register. That's why anytime a minister of the spirit is entering a territory, spirit know that he's entering. And they know his mission. Because they know what he's doing in other places. So when Paul enter a place, spirit follow them. Spirit follow them and say, men and brethren, help us. These are the men that turn the world upside down. I tried to read that and I read that. It's not Paul, it's not the Jews, it's spirit. Who they have trouble in their territory. They say, they have come here again, let's make sure they don't come here. So anytime a minister of the spirit enter a territory, they know what he will do. He will remove people from their register. So many of us here, we have been removed from their register. Do you agree?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you getting me, please? So yes, they are the one that make sure man remain as flesh. They make sure man remain as flesh. So when you start obeying faith, they know that you are moving another course of life. He said, ye who walk in the course of this world, Ephesians chapter 2, hallelujah, wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So, see, there's something called course of this world. So, that course of this world, when you start obeying faith, hallelujah, you are disengaging from that course. Obeying faith is disengaging from that cause. But I'm trying to say, I want to come back to what I'm trying to say. I'm saying that is under spiritual authority. Nobody can walk contrary to the cause of this world without spiritual authority. You need the spiritual authority to keep feeding you and empowering you. Say, feeding me. And what again? Empowering me. Can we say a big amen?
Amen.
Can I continue?
Yes, sir.
You know, when you look at the book of Jeremiah chapter 3, God said, he said that I will take two from a city, one from a town, and I will bring them to Zion, and I will give them pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So that feeding is empowerment. That feeding is an empowerment. How can we say a big amen?
Amen.
But at the same time, as you are under that spiritual authority, they will be doing something to you. Because when you, it's not just, I'm not just feeding you with word from the pulpit. I'm also giving you spiritual oversight. So this is where the warfare will now be. Because there, when feeding or teaching is easier, but oversight is harder. Because teaching, even though it's not easy like that, but it's easy to take teaching and go home. But it is not easy to be under spiritual oversight. That's where the war is. Because spiritual oversight knows ways in the spirit. You know that beyond what I'm teaching you, I can give you instructions. Are you still with me? Say instruction. Shout it very well. Shout it. I want to feel you. Do you know that it is easier to hear teaching than to obey instruction? Who agree with me? Instructions can make you be, teaching can make you be angry towards spiritual authority. But instruction make you more angry. For example, if you are under our teaching, you know, sometimes you can say, don't worry, finally, our finally doesn't end. It's not, our finally is not one finally. And it can make somebody angry. Because that finally is also a process for you. There's nobody can tell me that you have never been angry with spiritual authority before on teaching. Nobody. If you say you are a liar. You are a liar. Don't tell me that. Even now you can still be angry. All those things, they are part of your training in righteousness. Hallelujah. If you see what I'm, let me just bring the application. I don't know if you are still with me. I'm still going far. Do you know that you can be watching a movie? Okay, let me do a movie. Let's look at football. If football is supposed to be 1 hour, 30 minutes, 90 minutes, then sometimes no go. Then you enter extra time. Extra time, no go. Another extra time. But you are never angry. You are never angry. You didn't say, I want me, one more. No, you want to watch. You want to see the end of it. And then the penalty can be, they are keep scoring, they keep scoring, they keep scoring. Penalty can go for a long time. You want to see the end of it. Why is it that you don't complain when you want to see the end of that one? But to see the end of the teaching, you complain. It's the work of the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. Principality, power, rulers. No, there's a way they condition the mind. There's a way they condition your heart. There's a way they condition you that, you know, spending 4 hours in church is like a waste. Ah, somebody say, ah, that you don't close until 4 your church. Say, yeah, kill a jembe. We don't know. Sometimes we close by 2. It can be love sea. I'm just saying, it's our community. It's our community thing. Sometimes we go beyond 2:30. We have official time, but sometimes it goes beyond that. Are we together? Amen. I just want to show maybe you are following what my thought. So what I say that, what makes you angry? I was telling somebody, I said that, why is it that you watch seasonal film? Then, you know, seasonal film, you know, you can... There is episode 1, episode 2, episode 3. They're like that. Season 1. Then you enter season 2. And you can be watching it for 7 hours. And 8 hours. And you will not stop. I don't know, maybe you ask. I'm trying to say something to us today. In fact, you can pause the thing. Quickly do what you want to do and come back to it. And continue. I watched a movie like that. That's the last time I watched a cinema film. Because that almost landed them in trouble. I watched the Legend of the Seeker. I just said I should confess my sin. Am I even teaching today? Pastor, it's like I'm not okay. Am I okay, sir? I'm just talking about how warfare happens. I watched that movie. You know what? That was 2011. Or 2010, 2011. 2011 or so. I watched the movie. I started watching the movie in my room. In our room. Then I left our room to visitor's room. I felt that my wife and my children were disturbing me. I went to visitor's room. Can you imagine? Left our room. Went to visitor's room to go and watch it because they were coming and let me just I must see the end of this thing. I watch it till around 5 a.m. in the morning. This is tough road. It's very interesting. I watched it and slept with it, and you know, it's like I was dreaming it. Mother confessor. All those things. And that man, that wish ran down something. I was enjoying it. So I think God was looking at me. Okay, no problem. When I finished washing it, I woke up in the morning, did a prayer devotion, and then went to work. My intention was to continue at work. When I get to office, just at least wash it. When customer come, okay, do it and come back to it. God must have said, oh, new woman. Because what happened next, you won't believe. So in the morning when I was going to work, I was driving. When I was going to work, I was going to my office, so I was driving. And I wasn't sleeping until I got to a T-junction. You know T-junction? So T-junction is that I was driving like this, vehicles are going like this and coming like this, and that's when I fell asleep. Hello, Mayor. So if you know what, if vehicle didn't hit me before me, because that T-junction was, it's not only time, it's T-junction. If vehicle hits me, it's trouble. But if I move past vehicle, before me was a transformer. Life transformer. I dozed off. I was just coming to that T-junction when I opened my eyes. So I know that, I slept while driving. I just matched my brake. Then, transformer, vehicle. Then something told me, is the seeker you wash? Is the seeker you wash? They are not seeking for my own soul. You know, I didn't talk. I didn't say thank you, Lord. Oh, mercy. I just go to the office. Open my laptop. Delete immediately. They don't need to tell me. You know, I was not a baby. I wasn't a baby Christian. I already had a growth. I was tempted. I had a growth. I had a walk with the Lord. I just went there in my office, deleted it. Everything. Season 1, season 2, season 3, everything. Poop, 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 poop. You know, somebody told me it's in recycle bin. So that maybe later I went to recycle bin. Pa! Oh, Nick, Pami. What was I beginning now? Listen to me. Can our daddies, our spiritual authority feed us to a point where we don't become angry? That if they say today we'll be teaching for 3 sessions, and then you are interested in the teaching. The teaching is like that movie that is interesting. You are following it. You are following it. You want to see the end of the teaching. You want to see the end. It can't happen like that until you have won some warfare. You must have won some warfare to come to that place and say, I want to understand this thing. When the man say, I'm already done, say, please don't be done. That's why in the season when reign of righteousness will invade the earth. Hallelujah. There will be so much hunger that minister like our daddy must have become youthful again. That they must be able to teach for 12 hours. Because, listen to me, no. You know, you already have compressed judgment. That you know how to teach from meek to meat to strong meat. I don't know if you are getting me. Who is getting what I'm trying to say? That, you know, our daddy now, he can teach from milk to meat to strong meat precisely. Is someone to see how this thing is going. By that, he said, can we have a break after service? Say, which break? Sir, we are not going for a break. We can't do break. A whole day. There's a minister that went somewhere in Africa. Even in Africa, they taught for 7 hours. He said they were teaching no ventilation. The place was very hot. He said they were sweating. and they kept teaching. He said they taught for several hours, and they said, when they know that, man, brother, this thing is tough. He said, can we just pray in the Holy Ghost? Can we, so that people can pray? He said, when they started praying the Holy Ghost, he said, brother, let's move. When they close their eyes, let's move. He said, ah, the people want to kill us. Hunger.
Hunger.
What makes you not hungry is because they have put some things in you that have its own diverted hunger. There's nobody without hunger. It's what you are hungry for. It's what you are hungry for. There's nobody without hunger. There's nobody without interest. Amen. I don't know if you are getting me. So I'm still talking about getting angry at feeding. That feeding is for our good. But you see, the one weary warfare is when instructions come with the feeding. So when we say staying under authority, it's not only in the teaching. It's where instructions come. Instructions is where they particularly deal with flesh.
Yes. Thank you,
sir. Instructions is where that teaching is to open your eyes, yes. Is to give you an acquaintance. But the instruction is where they deal with particular. All of us have our particular uniqueness in the flesh. That's where they deal with. And that's where the warfare is. Hallelujah. I don't know if you are still with me. So to do faith, to do hope, to do charity precisely for earning righteousness, we need to be under special authority. It's a must. Let me tell you something. I realize something and I do say it. I don't know, maybe my teaching today is helpful at all. I don't know. Because it's like I'm playing. You are laughing. I'm talking about season. Nobody can put me in that pastor was season of Sikau. I watched it. I confessed my sin. And I did what you should do. You to go and delete all your movies that are keeping you as a captive. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a time, you know, this one, my one and only love, ravage all the young ladies. It's a Korean film. My one and only love. Yay! A Shuburuku. Then there's another one that ravage all the second chance. Is it second chance or another chance? It's an evil movie. They're talking about reincarnation. And people were watching it. Somebody will stay, he had died, but he came to live inside somebody and he's talking, this is me, whatever. Everybody kept watching it. I said, this is Satan, no, brainwashing us. Amen. Can we say spiritual authority? I'm just saying, this is how we justify that you are actually growing in righteousness. Nobody, hear me very well. I used to say it in church that the Lord can use a minister. But to bring a minister to the court of salvation, a minister must know particularly and recognize local church. A soul can't enter salvation without a local church. No soul can be saved outside local church. What did I say? Very simple teaching today. Say what I just said, please. No, I want you to say it loud. Let Satan hear you. No soul can be saved. It's not possible because God added to the church them that should be saved. So you may do mighty exploits, but you may not do anything that pertains to salvation. You can do mighty exploits. You can do things. You can take territory. Taking territory is not the same thing as saving soul. So when instructions start coming, that's when the real warfare begins. Teaching on faith is engagement of spirit, but instruction of faith. If you obey instruction of faith, you see that you will be empowered to have victory over the investment of that spirit in your soul. Instructions. The instructions come to us from time to time. That's why some don't like to be close to social authority. Some say, I just like to enter that church. I don't want to be close to pastor. I don't want to be close to pastor because I know the way my brother told me, my friend told me, the way they gave him instruction. I already think my brother is a zombie. I have my mind. That's why I say in the morning, anybody that has his mind cannot do well in a local church. He say, I have my mind. If they say, you have your own mind, please be weeping. Be weeping. If they say, brother so-so-so has his mind, he has his own mind. When they say, you have your own mind, don't be laughing. That's me. You are not yet enlisted. in the learning of righteousness. Because in righteousness cause, you must not have your mind. Please, you must not have your mind. You can't have the mind of Christ if you have your mind. So when you are under spiritual authority, you first of all gain the first mind called the mind of Christ. Because that's what they input to you by learning. Can we say amen? Simple teaching. Can I continue? I say, can I continue? So, a Christ. Somebody say a Christ. Please shout it very well. A Christ is the first level of son that God has. The first level of son is a Christ. Now, who is a Christ? The way God made me see it. A Christ who has dominion is he who he has become charity that filleth not. So a Christ is a charity being. Hallelujah. What did I say, please? Say it again. Say, shout it again. Shout it one more time. A Christ will do charity until he become charity. Charity is not what you do. You do it first. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. You start doing it until you become it. So you are not yet a full Christ until you have become charity. Now, not just charity. Charity that faileth not. There's something called charity faileth not. You can still fail in charity. You are not yet a full Christ. But there is a charity that faileth not. He said, charity never faileth. Charity never. Charity never. I call this charity that never faileth, that charity that believeth all things, openeth all things. You know, they say charity believeth all things. Beareth all things. He said, beareth all things. Then what again? Opeth all things. Believeth all things. Opeth all things. Endureth all things. So you can see, this is a charity being that faileth not. You start from charity suffering long, but you know where you are going. You are going to the end of that charity where it faileth not. It means, no matter the pressure, as far as charity is concerned, you cannot fail. No matter how they press you. That person already has a dominion. This person has dominion over flesh nature. Because flesh is what makes us vary in charity. My variation in charity, today I have patience, tomorrow I don't have it, is flesh. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you can be meek for a week. And they are throwing at you pa 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 ungbanu. Pa ungbanu. They're not throwing another one. Pa pa. He shake you small, but you stand. They're not showing you pa pa pa. Pa pa pa, don't move you. Hallelujah. So there's a charity that faileth not. Actually, charity faileth not. But we don't arrive at that faileth not until much exercise of becoming. So, you see, you can become charity that does not recourse to flesh again. You can become it. So that means that at that instant, you already gain its dominion. You already gain a dominion. Can we say a big amen? Because I said in the morning, this reign of righteousness is not, there's a time when God will bring full rain. God will give full rain to the sons. But they won't give you full rain without certain exercise in some dominion. You must have had dominion over some things. God will not just go and say, oh yeah, come and reign. No, you will actually come to reign because you have won certain battles that you don't fall back to. You can win principality, power, rulers of darkness that you don't go back to there. You have moved past them already. Can we say a big amen? Amen. Rulers of darkness can know this one passed me. They know the people that are superior than them by what you have in you. So charity that faileth not is already a victory, has victory over rulers of the darkness of this world, powers and principality. They know it's beyond them. That's somebody who already has certain measure of dominion. Are you following me, please? All of us in this church, the least of all will be charities that fail not. No, that must be every Christ church, the least person in Christ church, or Everlasting Life church, the least person. The demand of God is not that we are doing charity. The demand of God is that I want to see charity that faileth not. As a least member, least brethren in a local church. Because where we are going, can we say a big amen? So when you have become charity that faileth not, you are a son. You are a son. Then they will commend you to the next level. So the next level is when the high priest will come to you as a father. So if you don't do well under spiritual parents, which are spiritual authority, Jesus Christ is coming as divine authority. You see, you can see that there are levels of authority. Sir. There is natural authority, there is spiritual authority, then there is divine authority. So that's where the high priest will come. High priestly ministry that we have been teaching, emphasizing our community for a while, is the revelation of the fatherhood of Jesus. Jesus will be a father. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, he said, come out from among them and be separate. I'm rushing, but I don't know, maybe you are still with me. Are you being blessed today? I just want to say, let me bring some more witness to this thing. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ. This is not God the Father. The person talking is Jesus Christ. If you see Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, seeth the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. So he's the Lord Almighty. His Father is God Almighty. The Father of our Lord is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. Jesus is Lord Almighty. So when he receives you, it's because he realizes that you have thrived well under spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is not there just to control. They are there to fight our battles and to make us have victory and become a Christ. If you stay under spiritual authority in the New Testament, my young man, you ought to be a Christ. What a spiritual authority will produce is a Christ. What did I say, please? Believe me honestly. You know, Pastor and I were talking this morning that in the time to come, the least person that will be sent out is a Christ. For ministry, is a Christ. The least person that will be sent out to go and pastor a church or do anything is a Christ. Who is charity that faileth not? Because a pastor must come to an estate where it's a charity that faileth. You will be prayed as a pastor. You will have cantankerous brethren that can provoke. And charity is not easily provoked. So a spiritual authority must be able to produce a Christ after his kind. Adam gave birth after his kind. A Christ must be able to produce a Christ after his kind. So when an high priest comes to local churches, can we say a big amen? He's coming to receive sons. So the son of Christ, that's the first son. Can we say a big amen? So the first son is a spiritual son. And now he's coming under divine authority. Divine authority is more stricter than spiritual authority. That's why I realized if you have not really, really yielded to spiritual authority, you will have issue with divine authority. There's no way you are. When you look at the Hebrew church, I felt that to a degree they will have issue with divine authority. Holy Ghost has to be begging them. Hebrews chapter 3. Holy Ghost has to be begging them. That will say, wherefore, Holy Ghost here today, if you hear his voice. So it's not Holy Ghost voice they are saying you hear. Holy Ghost know that you are hearing the song. I don't be following me. Please give it to me. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost here today, if you will hear his voice. So it's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. He will have said, today if you hear my voice. Holy Ghost has helped them under special authority to come to a place where they can be hearing the voice of the Son of God. Amen. Harden not your heart. What will make a people to harden their heart? You know this is the Lord talking, but you harden your heart. It means that some of them didn't do well under special authority. They didn't do so much well under, I'm not saying, listen to me, if you do well, like I'm saying, I'm using Jesus as a measurement. When Jesus Christ obeyed spiritual authority or came under spiritual authority, the next dealing of Jesus was easier. Jesus was dealing with the Father. Let me put it that way, because, you know, heaven was open. His Lord came upon him. Can we say a big amen? Then he was led to the wilderness by the Holy Ghost. It's not the Father that led him to the wilderness. It was the Holy Ghost. After that, you cannot see Jesus Christ enter another phase of life. You could see that Jesus Christ was under divine authority. The Father was the one leading Jesus. The Father was the one giving Jesus direction. You could see the way Jesus lived his life. He said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. Hallelujah. I don't know if you are following me. I will soon wrap up. He said, I don't do anything. I do nothing. The Son can do nothing of himself. Of himself. Nobody can come here if you have not mastered learning, being under spiritual authority. Believe me honestly, this thing we are saying, people can, I realize that modernization can be fighting hard, but this thing is true. Look at the way Paul handled his men. Paul can move Timothy and say, Timothy, go to Ephesus and stay there. This is not about go and pray about it. Sorry that I'm saying this. Maybe I should not say this one in the public teaching, but it's the reality. It's the truth. Like that is saying to a pastor now, relocate to Abakaliki. Next 2 weeks, Abakaliki, please quickly, you and your wife. Not that that we are going to pray, but no, there's no need to. You must have trusted that judgment. There's something we cannot say publicly, because this is a teaching. There's something we may not be able to say. Can we say a big amen? I realize that there are certain ordinances God ordained in the times of the fathers that are difficult to do, particularly now. Can we say a big amen? We are blessed. I say we are blessed, sir. This reigning in righteousness is not easy like that. We have obediences to do. When I read Bible, sometimes I became afraid. How can a father give his son wife? And he will not say, no, sir, I'm going to go and pray about it. Isaac, even Abraham, it was Abraham's father that gave him wife, sister. But of course, we have to just look away from it. Because sometimes, even as a pastor, amen, a brother can be see a sister that somebody has seen. And you are saying, bro, maybe you should look away. He says, sir, I'm so sure. You can see that one? I'm so sure. I say, somebody has already seen. Somebody has prayed. The sister has already seen him. Sir, you know, I'm just so persuaded in my heart. What is the persuasion here? We laugh, but we do these things. To now receive divine Jesus high priestly ministry. We can be saying it, but when you come to that terrain, you know that it's a different ball game. So the Lord knows that a soul may not do. In fact, the way it came to me is that sometimes God gives people opportunity. God gives people opportunity that even though this person didn't do so well under spiritual authority, let's give him opportunity. Probably that one can come and make him also to make adjustment. Sometimes it's when you meet the high priest that you know come back again to do well under spiritual authority. You do well better. But some people don't do well at all. So I'm not here to magnify man. I'm talking about ordinances of God. Order in the spirit. Because parents, natural parents are also authority God ordained. Yes. Then spiritual authority are authority God. They are ordinances of God. So you can't meet the Father. Jesus Christ as a Father. Can we say a big amen? Amen. You are still going to meet the Father of Jesus Christ. We are still going to meet the Father of Jesus Christ. But before we meet the Father of Jesus Christ, we will meet Jesus as a Father. So that's the defi- God has given Jesus. God has given you to Jesus to Father, to be Father. He said, I and the children that God has given me. Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, so God will give you to Jesus to be Father. The fathering of Jesus is tougher. Because as a spiritual authority, I may not be able to see your motives. I may not see your intent. I said, the Lord put my eye, but Jesus Christ know your motives. He know your intent. And he will give you instruction based on your motive. He will teach you, give you instruction based on your motive. If Jesus Christ give you instruction based on your motive, you can be sure that you have entered trouble. Your flesh has entered trouble. Hallelujah. Can we say a big amen? Yeah. Can we say a big amen? Yeah. The high priest can tell you, marry that sister for me. Yes. I have thought this thing before. A sister may be praying, Jesus, when will you come for me? Say, I'm coming for you. Because my daughter, you have labor. Don't worry, I will say to you. Jesus can come to you and say, that sister, can you marry her for me? It's for me. It's not for yourself, it's for me. Lord, I don't feel connected. Don't worry, you will be connected. Just obey my voice. Let me move away from it. Because it's like I'm moving to areas that are sensitive, but they are very peculiar. This is where, when I say, I realize, when I say today, yes, but adding not to your heart. What is he saying that they are adding to your heart? It's because he's touching certain things. Sensitive zone of your life. That he knows this where the enemy has been winning you. You know, there are some sisters that are, they proud their age a lot. They proud their age. Even in church, they proud their age. There's a way they walk that if sisters that are 5 years old, younger than them, come around there, they size them. Shame you don't quit. Shadi does not say we should not do our level. High priest is hearing you. And it's coming for that thing. Because that thing you are magnifying is your unrighteousness. So it will bring a training righteousness to that thing. So it may be someone that you are 3 years older than it will not. I said I should be merciful. Pastor, I said I should be merciful. Please let me. Don't let me move. Three years older than, 4 years older than, 5 years older than. Let me put it up like that. That he can, it will tell you plainly, that's your husband. This is not even spiritual, because spiritual authority may be afraid to tell you. Sometimes your authority know this is your husband, but they are, if I say this one won't come again. But don't worry, the high priest is there. The everlasting Father knows how to come for you. And he will tell you, that's your husband. Who is your husband? And before you start saying yes, he's already giving you mommy how you will handle him. You submit yourself to him. You kneel down every morning. You greet him. He will rail in down all the things for you. We are blessed. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. Like I'm making you to laugh too much. So when he gives instructions, they can be on diverse. Now, what is the purpose? Let me be landing my. Why we the define what is the purpose of the divine authority in our life? The divine authority has an agenda. What he has to do is that I want to teach you everlasting righteousness. The righteousness you have is a spiritual level of righteousness that will not be able to combat against the forces of corruption. So I want to teach you how to have incorruptible righteousness. And incorruptible righteousness is the real warfare. So when I say real warfare, that's where they will teach you how to master a nature that is called divine. to move man from spiritual to divine is the essence of divine authority. To move man from spiritual to divine. Spiritual to divine. When I say spiritual, the best language I would have used, but because of that, I can't use that word so deeply like that. To move you from humanity to divine. Because a spiritual man is still human. That's why he can be tempted. So, to move you to a divine estate where corruption has no hold on you. Hallelujah. Nobody will reign in righteousness without coming to an estate of divine nature. Divine nature, when they give you the first level of reigning. Our pastor taught us on Monday about everlasting reign and eternal reign. I even thought I would get there, but I didn't even see any move to go there. I think maybe because our dad is on city, we teach us that. If we undo it for us, can we say big amen? But I thought so. I even thought I put it down, but that's not what they want me to do. But to have everlasting reign, that divine nature is what will give you everlasting reign. You can't reign in righteousness if you are not divine. You can't reign in righteousness. Because there, that is where they command high level authority on you. When I say authority, a man that will handle authority and not be corrupted. So divine nature. Somebody say divine nature. I'm already done. Say divine nature. Are you blessed today? Can you shout divine nature? So the purpose of divine authority is to make you become divine. You know, I say spiritual authority will make you become Christ. What spiritual authority will produce is a Christ. Now, please, thank you, Lord. That I say that the high priest is not fathering does not mean you will still not be under spiritual authority. Is it the same spiritual authority we use for you? It's not that the authority will move up also. So when we say divine authority, as you have been under spiritual authority over the same people, the same way you'll be under divine authority over the same people. Because ministry will change. You see, Pastor Dimeji will become a minister under the high priest. He has been minister of the spirit before, he becomes minister of the high priest. High priest will sit upon him to also minister to you. So it means with time is what we'll be meeting. Hallelujah. No. We are blessed. Is what we'll be addressing intent of the heart. Anytime you minister, he'll be teaching and only God will be opening his eyes to see your motive. He will be ministering to undo motives. Human nature that are still residing in the soul that is not yet manifesting. So sometimes his word can steer your human nature out. You know, I never know I still have that thing in me. But where they want us to land is that we should become divine. Can we say divine? Please shout divine. Who is a divine man? A divine man is an incorruptible man. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. That is a divine man. So it is that man that we have the significant reign of righteousness. There is still more righteous reign. There is still eternal reign. But in eternal reign, what the Lord says is that in eternal reign, there's no enemy there. It's a reigning in rest. But in everlasting reign, there are enemies. So that's where you will not only, you have won enemies within you in every strata, including the dragon. You first of all win dragon in your soul. Because dragon has his property in your soul. Please don't be angry with me. Satan has property in our soul. That is the blood. He has those things there. But you are already free. You have been free from them. After you have gained victory over the dragon, they will now give you reign. The reign is now not just yourself alone. It's also to remove dragon thing from men. So we are going to see that. I think Pastor Emeka talked about that you know the Jesus Christ riding upon white horse, warring in righteousness. And with him are the armies of heaven. So that is where you see that war will break out. What is it going to break out on earth? And there are people that will be champions of that war. But you know, there's something the Lord told me that I feel He told me, he said, a cry that is charity that faileth not, I can never look away from him. So I see that even in the millennial reign, Christ will still reign. So you see, the least in the reigning is Christ. So there's what we call least in the kingdom, there's what we call greatest in the kingdom. All of them are sons. So the least is a son, which is Christ. So when you look at Revelation chapter 20, he said, they shall be priests of God and of Christ. And they shall reign with him for 1,000 years. A Christ who can still reign. I don't know if you are following me. Oh, my Father. Yes, so a Christ will reign. Even, I'm seeing millennial reign. The millennial reign before what to come, a Christ will still have a reign. And of course, he has new earth, new heaven, but he's not yet physically displayed. But they will reign. He said they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. So it means charity that faileth not is a son that God cannot look away from, but is the least son. There is still more. A charity that faileth not may not be able to handle certain forces of corruption, but he that can handle forces of corruption is a divine man that has become true. So God has set before us in this conference, and he's still going to do that tomorrow and on Saturday and Sunday. He set it before us, ability to travel far. You see, let me tell you, if you stay in charity that faileth not, and that's where you want to stay, it will not fight you. You are a son, but there is a more son than that. There is a more son than that. Sometimes people rest in something. If God have mercy on you, he will make sure that where you are, he pushes you further. Because that place is not safe enough. If you say that at least charity that faileth not is okay for me, it will push you to know that your silver can be corrupted. Mercy must follow us to the end. Yeah. I pray. I say mercy will follow us to the very end. Yeah. Mercy has brought us in. May mercy not leave us until we attain. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus. The angel told Jacob, he said, I will not leave you until I fulfill my word for you. I said, God will not leave us until we come to the end of everything. Even when you say, I'm okay here, I say, mercy will push you further. Power to obey to the end, may you rest upon us all. We have obeyed. There's still more obedience. I say, we receive grace to obey to the end. Pastor Thompson said, grace is energy. I say, receive energy to obey. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can we begin to thank God?
Words has spirit. Words has life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed.